Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life is celebrating its 30th year of ministry this year, 30 years of transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. New Life Live is dedicated to helping you in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. You are listening to a recorded broadcast, and we've got people lined up on the phones. You don't need to call in. And this is the third hour that Chris and Alice and I've been together. And, you know, so many people never get to experience what I do. But just like today, 3 hours with people I enjoy being with. We kind of get each other. It's fun. I wish you could hear some of our conversations during the breaks, and then other times I'm really glad you don't hear our conversations.
Some of our conversations during the breaks, yeah.
But anyway, it's Dr. Alice Benton and Chris Williams, and I want to remind everybody, because the notes tell me to do it, that on 25th of January, I'm conducting our first Finding Freedom workshop. And I just want you to know that whatever it is that you've struggled with in 2018, you could be free of it in 2019, but you'll have to get help. And I think this is just one of the most amazing difficulties in our lives, is that we just think a little more time doing a little more of the stupid things that we've been doing in a less stupid way, everything's going to get better. There comes a time when we say, you know what, we just need to go get things taken care of. And that's when life really changes. It's the New Life Weekend, the new New Life Weekend, Finding Freedom. Come join us. Call. Just find out about it. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're struggling with, I think you're going to leave very, very different in your understanding of life, yourself, and what the future holds. But right now, I'm going to go right to a phone call. And I'm going to go to Linda from Fort Walton, Florida. Hi, Linda. How you doing?
Okay.
How can
have
we
been
help
listening
today?
To your program, a couple of them back, and been trying to get in and ask you a question.
Okay.
I'm in my late 60s, and I've lost the relationship with my oldest son, and my two boys are in their 40s, and it's been 5 years actually now since initially I'd lost a relationship with my oldest son, and within a year before that, he had said that he thought maybe he might have Asperger's, high functioning.
Yeah, okay.
So, and I'd never heard of that before he had brought
that
up.
Did you look it up after he told you about it?
It's something to do in the way towards, like, autism is what I could find.
Okay, so what's the question for us?
The only contact I have with him is to call a phone number where he has a business, but he does it out of his home, and I don't know where he lives at, and I'm just trying to, my younger son talks to him on occasion, but apparently not very frequently in the last couple of years now, but, and the only thing my younger son could tell me was why my older son had backed away. Was
and why is that?
He told his brother, the younger one, that when he was 3 years old, which his brother was 2 years younger, so he was one at that time, but the older one, that he had been in a different room when he was 3 years old, and he had heard me in another room tell somebody that I wish he had never been born. And that's all I know for my younger son.
Okay. Well, did you have those kind of feelings that he might have heard or something?
Not that I can remember to have ever said that.
Have you ever told him you didn't say it?
I didn't know if I should say that over just on the phone, because all I can do is leave a message and he doesn't respond to it.
Well, we'll get some insight from Dr. Alice Benton, Chris Williams, right after this. Glad you called.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay. Talking to Linda, I don't even know where to begin. So, Alice, you want to start off here? I mean, the brother said he overheard this. I wish he wasn't alive. That's just, What do you think she should do?
Boy, Linda, this must be so confusing for you and very sad to lose your son. And now you can't even contact him. All you can do is leave a message. So how difficult to know what to do. And I'm really glad you're reaching out to us to get some direction here. I want to ask about the boy's father. What kind of father was he to your sons?
Well, he was in the military, so he was gone on cruises a lot and sea duty and stuff. So a lot of times I was raising him by myself. And
when he was home, how did he treat them and how did he treat you?
He would interact with them some, but not a whole lot.
Mm-hmm. And was there any substance use on his part? Was there any abusive behavior on his part to you or to the boys?
No, not that I remember at all.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I actually think your caution about your son's statement of not just telling him I never said that might actually be a good approach. Because your son believes this for some reason, whether he's completely mistaken or whether he got the message from your from your actions, there's some good reason he believes this was said, some viable reason. So your best bet might actually be to reach out to him by letter or to leave a message for him in his voicemail to let him know, I'm understanding that you think I wish you were never born. And that just breaks my heart that you believe that. And I want to hear any ways that I caused you pain, that I pushed you away, even if it was unintentional. I really want to hear if you're ever willing to talk to me. And son, I want you to know that in the meantime, until you're ready to talk to me, I'm doing some self-evaluation with some safe people in my life so I can get a better understanding of what I might have done that could have pushed you away. And I sure hope one day soon you'll be willing to tell me what I have done that has hurt you. That invitation, rather than coming with a defense or a denial, I never said that, even if you truly never said that, because we are imperfect mothers, no matter how hard we try, there may have been something that we did or behavior on our spouse's part that we tolerated that brought our sons to believe we didn't love them or we weren't able to protect them in the way that they needed to be. So that gentle invitation might allow the barriers to come down for him to be able to give you the feedback if you can be a good listener without denying or without justifying, but just with the purpose of hearing his heart.
Yeah, that's why I was afraid to say anything on the telephone, that to make him feel like I'm saying, I don't believe you. Mm. It's not real what you remember.
You have a good instinct there.
And I didn't want to do that.
That's a good instinct.
And Also, if you are aware of any kind of treatment that you gave him, anything you might have ever said or something that would give him that impression, if you were able to say, you know, I remember a time when I was depressed or whatever, I remember I did have some thoughts like that, or I did say something out loud or something, any acknowledgement, if that's there, then you'd want to do that too.
Linda, it would be so understandable that there were probably times you were overwhelmed by being basically a single parent to these boys. And if your son has special needs that you didn't even know about at the time, that can make interacting all that much more confusing. All mothers, we all get overwhelmed at times, and we say things we may not really feel or we regret later. So your willingness to take a humble look at yourself will go a long way in showing your son you want to become a safe person for him.
And Linda, I would just add that it's really important to understand Asperger's. And we were just talking at the break that this, it's really hard because it shows up in people's lives in a lot of different ways. But one way it shows up often is an inability to pick up social cues or to be able to identify deep emotional experiences and communicate those. I just want to encourage you to try to get to know as much about Asperger's as you can, just so that it helps your expectations in being able to interact and talk with your son.
Well, see, that was when he said, told me it was high functioning, and he's never been a talker, and I was never a talker. I never felt like I had a voice until I got in my 40s. And my dad was controlling or whatever, and my first husband, that's how he was too, is very, he wanted to do all the talking. By the time he got done saying what he wanted to say, I couldn't remember what I'd even thought about saying.
Yeah. Well, it is on what they call the autism spectrum, but oftentimes, I'm wondering, would you say your son's a really bright son, or?
Well, he bought a computer out of high school and took it apart and put it back, I don't know how many times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty typical. See, someone with Asperger's typically or frequently, they're very, very brilliant people. And yet there's this thing in their brain, and I'm not saying I'm brilliant. I'm saying I have some of these things in me. When I do tests, I've said this before on the air, facial recognition test, that's the thing that I do the worst on when a psychologist gives me some kind of assessment. I had to go back and take the same test again a couple of months later, and I actually studied facial expressions to the exact one on the test. And when it came time to take the test, I did worse the second time. So that's part of the disconnection from you and others, and you just develop some, you could say, just defective survival strategies, you know. But I would really look into it, because it's so much more than what the word autism seems to indicate with him. But anyway, I'm glad you're going after him. Don't give up. Hold on a second. Let me see.
My 40s.
What was that? Did you say one of the things? What?
I never got a hug. The only emotional thing I saw with my parents was my dad would give my mom a kiss when he would go to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when my first son was born, I never gave him a hug. It's like that was not part of my life. I hadn't grown up that way.
Well, that is, I got to tell you something. Have you ever shared that with your son?
I believe I have. But see, my second son, 2 years later, came along, he reached his arms up. He wanted a hug, and I could give him a hug at that point.
Yeah, those are some really, I think, valuable things to go over.
Too.
Yeah, those are some great things to go over with him. I'm glad you called, and I'm going to send you How We Love, Mylon K. Yurkovich. Going to give you some great insight into a lot of these kinds of things. So how about we go over here and talk with Susan, Newport News, Virginia. Hi, Susan. Welcome to New Life. How you doing?
Hello. Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I do appreciate it. About 4 weeks ago, I lost a wonderful family friend. He was only 64. He died unexpectedly, and my whole family and I are kind of like out of disbelief because it was so unexpected. And anyways, it kind of set me back for enjoying the holidays, but I know that he's in a better place. However, what are some steps? I mean, I just haven't gotten anything decorated or any plans specifically for the holidays, but I've always had a down period during the holidays because I just find it kind of like a little depressing mode. Mm-hmm. But at any rate, how do you deal with holiday depression and loss, and what can I do to get myself through it?
Yeah, you know, you need a little bitty, tiny baby victory. And I'm just wondering if rather than decorate the house, you could decorate a table or a window or something. You know, you just do it one little tiny baby step at a time. That might be one thing. Second thing is, I don't know of anybody that gets over depression alone. Need to find a place where you can get some other folks to hug on you and talk to you and nurture you. Third thing is try to find some place you can get out of yourself and into others. Go serve at the mission or volunteer, do some things with the church. Things like that would really be important. Let's hear from Alice. Let's start with you. Holiday depression, especially if you're in Hollywood.
Hollywood depression is real, too.
If you kind of tend to be more superficial. But anyway, what is it that could help her with this depression?
I'm so sorry to hear about the recent unexpected loss of your friend, Susan. And I think I also heard you say that you've always found the holidays to be depressing. So I wouldn't be surprised if this more recent grief is just adding another layer onto some loneliness or some historical loss, some historical disappointment in the holidays. And there's a pressure to be a certain way, to feel a certain way on the holidays. We're supposed to be so happy. We're supposed to have our home decorated. So I hope you can give yourself permission to not live up to those societal or cultural expectations. This may just not be the time for you. So I also want to give you a phrase to encourage you to do something that Steve had suggested. When we proactively grieve, it really helps us through the process. Most of us have the tendency to want to avoid grief because it can be, of course, uncomfortable and overwhelming. But when we get with other people with the purpose of talking about our loss, of allowing the emotions to flow, whatever they may be, that is what helps us move through the process. But please don't put that pressure of time on yourself. You've got to get better fast. You may have to grieve for a while before that comes, but actively entering into the grief process is what will move you in the right direction.
Okay. I'm really, really glad that you called, and hope that let me send this little book to you, Understanding and Loving Someone with Depression. Even though it's for someone that loves someone with depression, it'll be a big help to you. And, you know, I think when we have a major loss on top of struggle, I just have to say this is going to be a tough holiday. You know, kind of what you're saying there, Alice, it's going to be a hard one. I got to get through it. Next year, it's going to be better. And it will if you just hang in there. Okay, let's go to Marjorie from Atlanta, Georgia. Hey, Marjorie, how are you?
Hi, I'm okay, I guess. Thank you.
How could we help?
I was calling. I listen to your program all the time. And long story short, I am a professional, and as concerns my workplace, and I'm also a leader in my church. So I'm before the people a lot. I also have been diagnosed with PTSD. I'm a recovering addict, 28 years. And my question, I guess, or concern is, knowing all of these things, I know God is for me. I've gone through the counseling. I know the ins and outs, the tools to use. I've also been diagnosed with major depressive disorder. Mm-hmm. So at this time, I'm in one of those seasons. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to your station, and I just... I guess the question is, more tools to deal with this challenge in life. It's been a long time working through it and in it. And there's a lot of things going on in life, as always, with me, but I always struggle. Not always, but I know during this season, I struggle more.
All right. Well, you hold on. We're going to help you with that particular struggle. I think we can. You're listening to New Life Live. We're glad that you are. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, we want to be there to help you. And we'll be back right after this. Hi, Steve Arterburn here. We've got a brand new workshop coming up. It's January the 25th, and we're going to do it in Washington, D.C. It's a New Life Weekend. We're calling it Finding Freedom. And I don't know where you're stuck, but you can be free. We're going to talk about forgiveness and codependency. We're going to understand that family of origin, the unhealthy reactions to it. We're going to talk about the cycle of shame and surrender and developing the plan that moves us forward. And it'll include the things that help you find that path to getting your life on track and staying on track. There'll be 8 teaching sessions, 6 small group sessions, and you can find out about it and sign up for it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Call us, talk to us if you want to be free. Finding Freedom, January the 25th. Great way to start the year. You call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEWLIFE. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be his.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Well, we're talking with Marjorie. We want to give her some hope here. What do you think, Alice? You want to start with you?
Marjorie, I'm curious if you're disappointed with yourself that you're not farther along right now, that you don't have this thing figured out and fixed already.
Disappointed. Yeah, frustrated is more.
Frustrated, mm-hmm.
You know,
sure.
I know it's cyclic, but, you know, I get frustrated with having to
mm-hmm.
work, if that makes sense.
It does. When was the last time you were in individual treatment?
Oh, that's been about 3 years. I haven't been a counselor since. In about 3 years,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think it's uncommon at all to get into this rut and be frustrated with it because you've been in recovery for 28 years. You know the tools. You've got the right information.
Yeah.
So it can be so irritating to be in a rut again, especially if you've got a position of leadership. You're supposed to be a certain way, or at least there's the pressure to present a certain way. I think we can all relate to this because as professionals, professionals too. We're supposed to know what to do to fix problems, yes. But we hit up against our own problems as well. And for me, I know it's very humbling, and my pride gets in my way when I think, oh, I've got to get back into counseling again, but I know what to do, but I can't apply it to myself. Yeah. I think there's
give her three things she could do, just simple, concrete direction she could go.
Sure. Well, I think you hit it there, Marjorie. If it's been 3 years since you've been in counseling, it's an invitation to dip back into that again. And not because you're weak, but because God has more to give you. He has more healing to give you. And some of the best leaders are the ones that are willing to be weak and to get that help again, to be humble and to acknowledge, I can't do it on my own despite all that I know. I can't do it on my own. There may be people in your church that need that example, that need to know you don't have it all together despite all the good work that you've done. I think I hear your reaction there. What are you feeling as I say this, Marjorie?
Because I know it's true, it's just so much easier. I find it easier to impart the wisdom to others who come to me for help and assistance, and I can guide them. And it's frustrating that when I find myself there and the very tools and things that I encourage other people with.
Marjorie, I'm
difficult for me.
Marjorie, I'm going to take this in a little bit different direction. You have tools. And the tools are to try to change your mind, but your mind's not broken. Your heart is.
Yes.
Okay, take a deep breath.
Yes.
Take one big, huge, deep breath for me. Okay? I want you to feel what you feel in the center of your chest right now. Do you got that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
How long has that been there?
At least a year.
Okay. When's the first time you remember feeling that?
Oh, my goodness. So long ago, in childhood.
Yeah.
When I was a child.
You see, there's a little girl there. And that little girl, she's been working super hard. Mm-hmm. She's been driving that car fast and helping a lot of people along the way. Mm-hmm. But that little girl is tired and she is scared. And she needs deep care. She needs to be seen. She needs to be heard. She may even need to throw a temper tantrum, to be quite honest. And I think she needs permission to do it. But most importantly, she needs to be loved. And what I want you to be able to do, and I would suggest getting into professional help to identify that little girl inside of you. But this Christmas season, I say to heck with everyone else, you give that little girl the Christmas that's been long overdue. You design Christmas for her and not for anybody else. And let her rest, let her cry, let her grieve, but ultimately let her be loved.
Yes.
All right. I'm really glad you called. I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back. It's going to help you. It's going to give you some healing. We've got to get you to Finding Freedom. So many of these calls, Finding Freedom, it's our workshop, January 25th. Could change everything here. Let's go to Bill, Wheeling, West Virginia, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Hi, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. How y'all doing?
Good. Thanks for holding on there. How could we help today?
Okay. I'll try to make this very brief.
Okay.
My question is basically, is I need a biblical answer if I can. I've been married to my wife for 9 years. She has developed a couple of issues to where she can no longer have sex.
You mean sex, or she can't have sexual intercourse?
Yeah, sexual intercourse. That would be it.
She can still be sexual.
I'm sorry, what?
She can still be sexual, she just can't have intercourse. Is that right?
Right.
And does she have any desire to be sexual?
Yes, she does.
Okay.
And I do. We both have healthy sex drives. I mean, we do what we can. But the actual intercourse is too painful for her.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, basically...
All right, hold on. We're going to take a break. We'll come right back.
My wife had found me out through my past and my sexual addiction since I was a small child. It really gave me the opportunity to start digging into my past, start digging into my childhood, figure out what was causing me to feel the way I was feeling. Every Man's Battle will really give you that opportunity because all the guys there in that room are there for the exact same reason you're there. I don't want to be the reason that my kids are going to counseling. I don't want to be the reason that they begin to struggle with the same issues that I'm struggling with, and I've got to put an end to this. Yes, you can be different. God does love you. You can be forgiven for this, and there's a way out of this. But you have to acknowledge that you have to change. Yeah, that there's a problem.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to hand down something to another generation that just looks like pain and destruction. You can hand down redemption. But you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. We're talking with Bill, and his wife, they struggle near sexual intimacy. You want to pick it up from here, Chris?
Yeah, Bill, do you know the source of her pain or like why it's there?
Yes, I do. It's a medical condition.
Okay. And how long has she had the medical condition?
It developed over about a 2-year period.
Okay.
It also has to do with a gift that her ex-husband left her that keeps on giving.
Yeah. I'm wondering, are you frustrated with this? It would be frustrating, but is there any resentment that you're holding on to towards her or towards the ex-husband?
No.
Okay.
It is what it is.
Yeah. Good. Great.
And I have a quick question before you go to your answer, Chris. What would your wife think of you being involved with masturbation? What would she think?
Right. I mean, is it biblical?
No, what would your wife think about that?
Is it biblical to solve the problem myself?
Yeah, what would your wife think if you said to her, here's what I'm thinking.
She doesn't have a problem. She's often told me that if I need to solve the problem, solve the problem.
Okay.
It's not, if you will, I don't use pornography or anything like that.
Got it. Okay. All right. Well, let's hear what Chris has to say. So,
with her.
So, what do you think? She would not disapprove, Chris.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He would not be using pornography. Are you concerned about anything here?
I just think the biggest thing is that there is a loss, and that loss is real, and the loss of that intimacy through intercourse. You've already alluded to this, Bill. I'm sure you guys are already doing it. There's other ways to be physically intimate and sexually intimate with each other and to keep doing that and keep exploring that. I happen to not be completely opposed to, you know, masturbating as long as there's not fantasy, there's no pornography. That can make it really hard. But these things have to be in communication with your wife. They have to be in the light, because what we don't want is a situation of distrust. And
right.
and obviously you don't want to invite sin into your life either. And so
that's the question.
Yeah. And I think that this is really a matter of a great way to deepen your relationship with Christ. It already sounds really strong, and that you don't want to violate your own conscience in this process. And so if masturbating violates your conscience, I'd be like, no, because that just damages your own heart, your own soul. So let's look at more creative opportunities or solutions within the marriage that again, that stays well within your conscience and your convictions.
All right. And let me just add this. Okay. Having written Every Man's Battle, we've been around the block a few times on this. The theologians I trust the most have said there is absolutely nothing in the Bible that would prohibit this under the circumstances that you have outlined. We want to be sure that anything we do sexually is known by our spouse, involves our spouse, approved by our spouse. Sounds like that is the case there. There are some times when we know this would be wrong. Lusting.
Right.
Where it becomes habitual, where it becomes so frequent that we actually harm ourselves physically. So there are a lot of things that would make it not a good thing. But just in and of itself, under the circumstances that you're describing, no. Alice, you have 2 cents you want to add to that before we go?
Bill, I would be cautious, too, if there's ever been any history of sexual issues for you, of pornography, of masturbating too frequently. So if it could draw you back into any historical problems you had, to be cautious there. And the other one is, if you spend too much sexual energy away from your wife, you may not need or want that connection with her. So keep a good radar on how much you're connecting on an emotional level, on an intimate level with her, to make sure that you're nurturing your marriage and your relationship with her.
Yeah. All right. I'm really glad you called, and I'm going to send you a copy of Every Man's God's Man and hope that that would clear this up. I know what the easy answer to this is, don't do it, but I don't know that that's absolutely biblically correct here, and it's tough. You also don't want to let that prevent you from doing whatever you can to correct the problem, grow in that area if there's any possibility. Alice is a Club New Life member from Houston, listening on KKHT. Hi, Alice. Welcome to New Life. How can we help?
Hi. How are you doing?
Great. What's going on?
Hello.
Hi.
Well, I'm calling with not a personal problem for myself, but I have a niece, very beloved, who she and her husband started fostering kids and have adopted 2 children, which, of course, is, I think, wonderful. And one of the children was, I guess he's about 6 or 7 when we got him, and actually had been in 6 different foster homes in like 2 years. So he had quite a history along with just the, the problematic raising of at home with his parents. So, I mean, I know the little guy's just got a lot going on. And my niece and her husband were so great about dealing with him at first. I mean, you couldn't even raise your voice just the slightest bit. He'd run and hide under the bed. He, you know, very low self-esteem, always upset that he did, oh, I'm sorry. And they dealt with him so well and gently and really,
Okay, let's get to the problem, though,
job.
So we can help you here. So what was the problem?
Well, now, the problem is it's getting close to 3 years now, and they're still dealing with kid gloves, and he's just getting, you know, he's rude. He just doesn't seem to. I'm wondering how can I. She's very sensitive when family members are critical, but I'm so worried that he is not having boundaries. He's not, you know, when can you start having expectations for this child? And is there any way I could, how do I bring this up to her without her just feeling like, great, more interference?
Okay. Either you guys want to take a shot at this?
Alice, how much do you know about attachment or childhood attachment?
A little bit. I'm a teacher.
Okay.
I know that.
Yeah. I would say six foster homes in that early of an age and that much abandonment, that's not a three-year,
right.
That's not a 3-year process. That's a 30-year process. Mm-hmm. And I'm very serious about that. I mean, that much transition and uncertainty for a child, you know, the brain is like 80% developed by the time a person's 4 years old. So 80% of how they learn to relationally attach or detach and what that child learned is so disruptive to them and it's so locked in. That the amount of empathy and care that they're going to need, and of course they do need boundaries, but the expectations for behavior for this child really need to be very different and radically different. And I couldn't encourage you enough to read up on childhood attachment and and all of the fostering and adoptive, and there's great information out there on what the challenges are. Because I would say more than anything else is that your niece and her husband need tremendous support. The pressure that they're under with this child 24/7, and you see it and you get this, which is great, and I'm so glad you're calling with that. But also, you know, I don't think it's bad to raise a concern, but raise it from a place of curiosity and learning rather than a place of anxiety and correcting.
All right. I get that.
Yeah. Good way to go.
Like, help me understand what. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I have this concern. I don't know how legit it is.
Book.
What's that?
Sorry to interrupt.
No.
Ahead.
You asked a question,
well,
Alice?
I had asked if there was a specific book or title that you could direct me to.
Mm-hmm. Well,
get out there and get information in general.
I think the book that we have is How We Love Our Children, but there's a book called Born for Love that I would recommend that you read.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Do you remember who wrote that, Chris?
I actually don't. I just remember the title Born. It was a psychiatrist and a social worker who wrote that.
Well, that's why I asked you.
Well, I really appreciate
the authors there, and so important to remember the author. Whenever you but what's the title again? We can look it up.
It's Born for Love.
Born Free. Okay.
Born for Love.
I'm joking.
Yeah,
Born
my goodness.
Right. Okay. Let's send How We Love Our Kids. That's a...
Yeah, I think it'd be good.
We can get that. We've got that one, and we know the author. All right, we'll be back after this.
Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
As you're doing God's work here, you're restoring marriages, you're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
husband. How did we become this distant? I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. All right, let's go over here and talk to Dorothy. League City, Texas. Hey, Dorothy, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing good. Thank you for taking my call.
Yep.
Okay, my concern is I had two children very young. They're adults now, and I did not do a great job raising them. And I'm now remarried and raising my eight-year-old. So I have a lot of pressure. I'm trying to do a better job at mothering him.
Okay.
We are Christians. Okay. We mainly listen to Christian music. Lately, after my husband and I saw the movie Bohemian Rhapsody, I've been in love with the Queen songs again. And now my eight-year-old is really loving listening to the certain Queen songs by Freddie Mercury.
And yeah, what songs does he like? We Are the Champions.
Well, one that he loves is Don't Stop Me Now, and it has an explicit thing it says about, it has a sentence in there that says, like a sex machine, or like loaded like a sex machine or something like that.
And you let him listen to that?
Yes, and I'm hoping he just doesn't understand that one sentence. So,
So I wouldn't do that anymore. I wouldn't let him listen to that song.
Now, if I'm being too overly, too heavenly minded, because I know that in the world with different music, it's not going to all. I mean, it's rock. And my other concern is because Freddie Mercury was gay. Do I not let him listen to any of his songs?
Well, he's 8 years
I know
old.
That's a hard one.
He's 8 years old.
Yeah.
I don't think it's appropriate for him to be listening to Freddie Mercury songs, okay? Especially when they talk about sex machines in it, okay? And I am not a prude. I'm not a prude whatsoever.
Okay.
Yeah. But so that's inappropriate for him to be listening to that, and singing that song to folks at school probably is not going to go well for you. Let's hear from Alyssa. You love songs that are not great. What do you what's your thought here on Queen songs with sex machine in them?
Dorothy, were you saying that the version your son listens to doesn't have those words in it, even though that's the original?
It does have that one sentence. It does. But there's other songs, too. I've been really convicted about that song, but I'm wondering, should I not let him listen to Queen because the lead singer was a homosexual? I know I need to... I downloaded that song on my phone. I need to get it off because it does have about the sex machine in it. Even though I love the song and he loves it, but I've been convicted about it. But he takes keyboard lessons now at the School of Rock. He's going to be introduced to other songs, which kills me. I'm having a hard time with about the
So, Dorothy, I think this is a good opportunity, but I'm gonna ask you to rethink it. Rather than hoping he doesn't notice and just deleting it without saying anything, this is a chance to sit down with him to say, you know what, buddy, because this line is in this song, and this is not an appropriate line. That's why my mom's gonna delete this from my phone. I'm gonna have you sit here while I'm doing it too, and we're not gonna listen to that song. And you might hear words like that.
The other song, Somebody to Love.
Hold on. Dorothy, let me jump in. You could give us a list of 18,000 songs to go through.
But
it will never help you. Because you have not forgiven yourself. And therefore, you're looking for a moral solution to your guilt, and it's never there. That's not what Jesus does. You didn't mess up your kids because they were exposed to things of the world. That's not what happened.
Mm-mm.
Protecting your kids from every potential danger out there is not going to make you a good parent. And so
let me jump in here because we don't have much time.
Okay.
If your child learning to play the piano at the School of Rock exposes an 8-year-old to other inappropriate music, you need to take your child, your 8-year-old, out of the School of Rock. My daughter was dancing in a dance studio where it was inappropriate what the other women, young girls, were dancing at levels above her. And my wife said, we're not doing this. This isn't appropriate. We don't have to have dances that imitate sexual moves by 11 and 12-year-olds.
So I think
you're making some mistakes here. Chris is right about the guilt thing. But on the other hand, you need to protect your 8-year-old. You've got some judgment error here that's coming into play for whatever reason. Or you would have never played that song for your 8-year-old, thinking, well, he doesn't know what it means.
Well, and to go along with that, because what I don't want you to have to do, Dorothy, is make a phone call to a radio station, to call in radio station every time there's decisions. When you understand your biblical and Christian principles well, and you integrate them into your life, and again, especially through the process of forgiveness, but also connection to Christ, your decisions become much easier because they're principally driven, not just a random moral behavior decision. We don't listen to those songs in our home because they're not loving. They don't represent God's love. So if they don't represent God's love, they're not a part of what we do. It's an easy decision.
But a part of parenting, though, is also we make our mistakes. And maybe we don't realize it till afterwards. Because I'm sure my kids have heard some songs that I realized after, that's inappropriate for his age. I'm not going to do that anymore.
Uh-huh.
So I want to take you off the hook a little bit, too, Dorothy, because we all learn by mistakes, too. And you have the humility to call in and get some feedback about it. So being willing to admit that you're an imperfect mom to this boy and to your older boys.
There you go.
And then as you realize your mistakes, you do better the next time. That's just a part of parenting we're all going through.
And you just say it's just not healthy, and it leads to problems. So, you know, so I wish we hadn't started listening to it. That kind of thing. Is that what you're saying, Alice? You should. Yeah,
exactly.
That sounds great.
Otherwise, another one bites the dust, and that's not what we want. Anyway, this is music that I'm familiar with, but I don't play it around the house. And, it's tough being a parent. And am I ever glad that you called us to get some advice there? Yeah. Direction with grace. I'll give the direction. Alice,
good.
You give the grace. All right. You're listening to New Life Live. We're glad that you are. If you can help us, do it. Please call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. But the bigger thing, if you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I just have to tell you, I am astounded at people that ask if they should get marriage counseling. They will say things like, you know, he's saying things like he can't stand me. Our marriage is dead. He wants to live in Morocco. Should we get counseling? you know, and you just go, you know, tomorrow I'll be in counseling with my wife. I believe in counseling. Not because you're horrible. It's a great way to grow. Character, grow together, intimacy. Yeah, that's what you want to do, okay? Grow. Counseling can do that. We can help you find one. Don't struggle alone. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's the number. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Alice. See you next
time.
Thanks
for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.